episode 2 of the Baller Hockey UK podcast, and a special interview we did today. It's Chris Abbott, who became as much part of Team GB and the Baller Hockey UK experience of St John's 2013 as anybody else who was out there calling the games from the Glacier. Most of the GB games, couldn't get to the last couple of the guys' games that were at the Jack Byrne. But a huge part of GB, president of the Johnny Tulip Fan Club. So for episode 2 of this Baller Hockey UK podcast, we're delighted to present, in conversation with myself, Craig Simpson, the one and only Chris Abbott.
Well, it's nice to be here. I hope everyone can hear me. My voice is just hanging on by a thread today, Craig.
Well, it's been obviously a fantastic shift you did at the World Championships, yourself at the Glacier and Bill at the Jack Byrne, and I think we were just talking before we started, you called 40 games this week?
Yeah, 40 games in 7 or 8 days. I guess it would be 8 this Sunday again, so yeah, it was quite the shift. It was really enjoyable though.
And it was pretty much non-stop, because obviously we were watching, you were at the from game one, and then as soon as the game finished, the next game came on, so there was no real break, so it was sort of a 12-hour shift every day.
Yeah, I didn't know how long it was going to be when I signed up, and I might have thought twice about it, but I'm certainly glad that I did, and I got to meet so many fantastic people, interview so many different people with different stories. It really was life-changing for me, to be honest.
And obviously for ourselves here in the UK who couldn't make it over to St John's, obviously you brought the tournament to life for us, and obviously your passion for the sport and your passion for the game, I know you obviously became a big part of Team GB, but whatever game you were calling, you were there and you were rooting for the teams, and that passion I think really came through.
I said to a few people, you know, I never saw a game of ball hockey until Sunday passed when the tournament started. I'm an ice hockey guy, and I coach now. I used to play. I've done some commentary of ice hockey. But I've said to people since the tournament and during the tournament that the people with Team Great Britain displayed such passion and emotion and commitment and teamwork. It was really hard not to fall in love with all of them, and they'll be missed over here, that's for sure.
Well, I mean, obviously the guys and girls are coming back. They're back today, getting back home to their various parts across the UK kind of this afternoon. And from the messages I've seen, it has been, for yourself, you mentioned it, it has been life-changing for them. A week in St John's, obviously the ball hockey was the main reason for going out, but it was the whole thing around it, you know, the St John's experience, and people like yourself and the people of St John's has obviously had a big part in making it the experience that it was.
Yeah, it was certainly something special. I'm really not sure how it even got started. I think the first day that the men played, the girls were there in full force supporting them, which is not something you always see. And I mean, I talked about that with some people in an interview, just about the support that the guys and girls teams have for each other. And, you know, they were enjoying it. They were, you know, dancing to the music and stuff as the men's tournament started a few days before the women. And I really don't know how it happened. I guess it was a combination between the interest the broadcast was generating in the UK and the social media aspect of it, of us beginning to connect with each other. And, yeah, it just kind of turned in, kind of had a life of its own, and yeah, it's really something. It's not something I've ever experienced before, with that kind of connection with fans, players, and media.
I mean, you mentioned the social media. 2 years ago in Bratislava, there was live streaming of the games, but there wasn't really so much the Facebook and the Twitter. It wasn't as big as it was then. So I think the whole social media side of things has really helped, obviously, spread the word about the tournament, but obviously the keeping in touch and the messaging each other, and that's certainly a big thing our players have said, the support that they've been getting
through their Facebook, through their Twitter and things like that. It's been fantastic from sort of 2,500 miles away.
Yeah, I think it's something great what Bell Alliance has done. They've been broadcasting events kind of regionally here in our part of the country in the east. And it's been, of course, as you saw, it's been free of charge, and they really introduced the interactive part of it. So hats off to them for letting me put my own spin, letting me interact with the viewers. And I think adding that personal touch, whether it's answering a question directly live on air or sending a tweet back or, whatever it may be, that personal touch really got the viewers involved, and it's just a great thing to be a part of and being able to help facilitate that. And as you mentioned, a tournament that was taking place so far away from home.
Did you have a free rein about what you could do pretty much on air once the game started, first thing in the morning? Were you having any sort of direction about what you could and couldn't do, or did you just sort of go with how it developed?
Nobody told me no. Nobody said you can't do that. I was in an interesting position because I was also the media and PR director for the host committee, and Bell Alliance kind of approached me last minute, probably within a week of the event, as they had lost one of their commentators. So I originally wasn't lined up to do that part of it, but they contacted me, and the rest is history, I suppose.
So from the games you've done, obviously you mentioned some of them on your Twitter. Has there been any sort of highlights you can sort of off the top of your head?
Yeah, there's a couple of different things. The American goaltender Adele King, she struck 207 shots over six games, as the Americans finished fourth. And she did an interview with us after one game. While she was here, she found out that her niece, who was very close to her, had to go for an emergency brain surgery. And she found out right before a game. And the fact that she managed to stay so focused and composed and still be a leader for her team and all that kind of thing, that really sticks with me. And seeing the girls and guys, but mostly it sticks out more for me for the girls who played Britain, being overmatched in some games, but always having a smile on their face, always wanting to learn, always wanting to get better, that's really stuck with me in that. That's what endeared me so much to those guys. There were so many moments. Team Israel came here. Some of those guys never met until they got to St. John's, as they had players come from Tel Aviv and meet up with guys who, are expats living in Ontario. No training together. And they told me on day one that if they could keep their games within 6 or 7 goal losses, then they would be happy as a first-time team. And they went on to win the bronze medal in the men's deep pool, which is just fascinating, really. And again, for those guys to see their emotion, their commitment, those are some things that really stick with me, and not something I'll ever forget.
And that Israel game, that was the one they were down 4-1, and then came back and won it in last 20 seconds or so.
That's one part of it. That was the game that got them to the bronze medal game. So they were down 4-1 early. They made it 4-3 in the second, and they tied it 4-4 about 9 minutes left. And then they needed to win, so they pulled their goalie, and a shot from the boards deflected off a leg into the net with 20 seconds left, and you started to feel like they were destined to do something there. And then they went to the bronze medal game the next day, and they were down 2-0, and as all week they came back and tied it, and they won in a shootout. So my only regret from the week is that I couldn't be down there for that game. But they've actually contacted me and asked me to dub over the video of their game with my own audio call. So when I get a moment, I'll do that for them.
I mean, that was one thing that I think is, we've gone so far without mentioning JT, so I think we'll bring him in. That was the thing that I think brought you into the consciousness first, Mr. Tulip. And now as president of the Johnny Tulip fan club, it's just, it is strange how little things like that just, it was possibly just a throwaway comment from yourself, but that got you in, and that started the Facebook, and that started the Twitter, and then it kind of took a life of its own.
It did, yeah, and you know, it could have been Randy Cannon, and maybe I'd be on the radio in the Cayman Islands right now, but nobody jumped on the Randy Cannon, although that's right up there with the good names. But the Johnny thing, yeah, it really took off, and he was such a good sport about it, and again, it just got back to all the, you know, the passion for being here at the World Championships from those guys, their excitement. You know, and then when I met Johnny and we did the little interview there, I really liked him. I thought he was just a fantastic guy, and he kind of went with it, and then we hit it off pretty good, talked a few more times through the tournament, and then Sunday night, I took my Johnny Tulip jersey and went to the after party for the tournament, and him and I got to spend some time together. I actually had a few good chats with him. Had a nice chat with Kyle Graham. I had a nice chat with Stephen Corlett. So it was really neat. It was really interesting. So I think me and John will stay in touch. Maybe some of the other guys. Richie, of course, who was just fantastic and so funny. All those guys are fantastic. And I sent out a tweet. If I don't get to the UK before 2015, I hope to see all those guys in Switzerland. If I'm not part of the event, I'm gonna put that on my calendar and make sure I get there.
That's certainly something to look out for, and as I said at the top, it's the broadcast side of this event at St John's has certainly laid the marker down for Switzerland in 2015, and it's going to be a tough act to follow. And if yourself and Bella Lyon get a phone call, can you come to Switzerland in 2 years' time? I'm sure it'll not take you very long to give your answer.
No, and as I mentioned before, I'd never seen a game of ball hockey before. You know, I know hockey inside out.
Yeah.
But I'd never really seen a game of ball hockey. And to see the sport and see it at its top level and to really gain the appreciation for what it takes to perform in this sport at such a high level. On top of that, all the people that I met from the president of the Canadian Association, Shelley Callahan, I can't say enough about her. She was the cog that turned the wheels here at the tournament. She would never take any credit for it, so I'm going to give her some now. The guys at the International Federation, again, fantastic people, and I've become a ball hockey fan for life. So is Katie, my cameraman, best cameraman in the Western Hemisphere. So, you know, him and I will be in Switzerland. Whether we're getting paid to be there, I don't know, but we'll see what happens.
And you said that the ball hockey, obviously new to you, but from ourselves here in the UK, obviously it's very much a new thing, and it's a very minor sport. But it's, I mean, in Canada and some of the Eastern Europe countries, it's absolutely huge. Mm-hmm. And as the Canadian women won the gold medal. Is that getting much airplay and much coverage over there?
Yeah, I mean, it's been publicized. Ball hockey doesn't always get maybe the credit it deserves, and being a member of the community of ball hockey now, I really don't think it's getting the credit it deserves. The incident from the Canada-Czech men's game went international, but that was, you know, media latching on to something negative. And as we are talking right now, actually this afternoon, I've been working on a press release to send out that I'll be sending later today that it touches on the incident from Saturday night, but it accentuates all the positives. And this tournament has been one of the most positive experiences I've ever been around, not just for me personally, but to see all the positivity that's come out of it, the camaraderie, the teamwork, like I said, the passion, the commitment. And, you know, that's been great. And just to touch on your point about ball hockey being relatively new in Great Britain, you know, I had the opportunity to talk with a lot of the male and female players, some of the coaches, and just kind of explain to them that it's because of the work that they are putting in right now and the foundations they are laying, that one day, whether it's 2015, 2017, 2019, whatever the timeline is, and I think somebody sent out a picture about 2025 girls practicing with some young girls practicing during the week. I can't remember where that came from, but saying, you know, train for 2025, maybe if it is 2025, then these will be the people who sacrifice their own money, sacrifice their bodies. A lot of the girls and guys are walking bruises right now. And they'll be the ones that made this happen for the country and the region over there. So while it may be frustrating to not get the results they wanted, they are so committed to being better, so committed to learning, so committed to, you know, driving this game forward, that I have no doubt that Ball Hockey UK will flourish with the people who are involved in it right now.
Well, and that's the challenge that obviously myself on the Ball Hockey UK committee and the guys have got to sort of pick up from this and make the experience of St John's kind of work for us and turn it into a positive and try and get as much PR from it as possible. And whether it's the photos the guys are bringing back, if it's the video that yourselves and Terry have done, if it's some of the audio, whatever we do, we've got to try and use what they've done over the last 10 days and make as much out of that as possible to get the guys coming through for the future, so that, I say, 2 years down the line, we've got, again, the bigger squad, a better squad, and just keep the development going. Because it's even the 2 years since I've been involved, since, I say, Bratislava to here, it's gone up a level. And I say, if we can continue that for the next 2, 4, 6 years, whatever, it can only go in one way, hopefully.
You know, and you guys are going about it the right way, and I discussed it with Matt Barlow. You know, they had some guys drop out last minute, and they could very well have picked up Canadians with English heritage to fill out the roster and maybe have gotten better results. But as Matt and I discussed, that does nothing for the game at home and nothing for the players at home. So, you know, it's encouraging to see that the team came with all locally living and raised players. And that's the right way to go about it, and not, you know, bring in the imports or what have you just for better results. So that's the right attitude to take. And there's no substitute for experience. So as you said, they can take those YouTube clips and download them and have them forever and watch how the Team Canada's play and the Team Slovakia play and really gain strategy from them. And a lot of the difference is just little things. There was some speed and strength that some of the other teams had that some teams didn't, and there was just some strategy as well. So, but these are well-developed hockey nations that you're playing against. And as the game continues to grow in Great Britain, the success and registration numbers, I'm sure, will develop as well.
Well, that's the hope. So, fingers crossed. We'll keep you informed how we're doing. It's sort of 2 days since the end of the tournament. So, how has Chris come down from Sunday night to return to sort of normality?
Well, yesterday was a complete write-off because we had a real, real good party on Sunday night. And Sunday night was a bit of an emotional time too. I said goodbye to a lot of people, and that was you know, people who have certainly touched my heart throughout the week, and they may not even realize it. Just met so many great people from so many different places, and so it was a little hard for me to see all these people leave, because I kind of want to get to know them better and spend more time around them and all that stuff. And today I was back here in my office, kind of catching up on what I missed over the last week. And I guess we'll see in the coming days. I'll just get back to some sort of normalcy, I suppose. I'm sad it's over. I am. I'm very sad it's over. I had a great time doing it. Like I said, I was a lot more invested in it than I thought I would be in terms of, meeting people and kind of an emotional investment. So it was very, very cool. And not being part of only one team, but getting to meet, you know, hundreds of different people with different backgrounds, different stories. Very cool, and not something, like I said, that I'll ever forget or that I'll ever stop telling people about.
And as I said, we've said before, the impression St. John's has made on our people as well, we said before they went out, it was going to be an experience of a lifetime, but I think it was kind of a cliche when we said it, but I think now the guys and girls have been there, it truly has been a life-changing experience and something they'll take with them forever. And obviously, the guys who were at Bratislava are lucky enough to come back to St. John's. Maybe there'll be guys and girls lucky enough to go to Switzerland, but it's certainly, if it's a one-off, it's a heck of a one-off to take with you. But from everybody, obviously here in the UK, I think you're a president of the Johnny Tulip Fan Club, which is an honour and a privilege, I'm sure. But obviously you've become a big part of the ball hockey this last week, and I know obviously the guys and girls will keep in touch. And it's been great watching yous at work, yourself and Teddy, particularly at the Glacier at GB Spiritual Home, as we called it. But it's been fantastic watching you and hearing you call the games. So from us, a big thank you for what you've done, and it was really, really appreciated.
Well, Craig, that means a lot. To know that we're having an impact on people far, far away that we've never met, and to have people kind of take the initiative to write in through the emails and Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff. We read every email, even if it didn't get on air. We read every tweet, every Facebook message. So it's very humbling to have people thank you all the time when I wanted to thank everybody for being a part of it, because without the players there, without everybody making it as exciting as it was to call the games for you at home, I didn't do anything. So I told a couple of the girls who messaged me, thank you so much. I think it was I know Dina and Sarah Smith Monkey there. Off the top of my head, I know kept writing thank you and Joy as well. And I just told them, I said, stop thanking me, because I just did something for some fun, and it was really the players who deserve the thanks for all the effort they put in and making it such an enjoyable week. And again, thanks to everyone who tuned in, and I certainly don't mind a bit of appreciation, who doesn't, but I really appreciate all the interaction, and it's really great to see the support that the teams have coming from home, no matter what the score, no matter how the game went. And I guess from a perspective of the experience that the players and coaches had over here, I think it was really their positive attitudes and their outlook on life in general that they had that made this experience so good for them. The players and staff that I met from Great Britain, which, close to every single one of them, I don't think there's many that I haven't shook hands with or at least spoke to at least once. For all of them, they had a good experience because that's their attitude and that's the kind of people they are. And I'm very confident that if these are the kind of people that stay involved with the sport in Great Britain, vast majority of all these people are selected from the top shelf of the people pile. They are, you know, just their smile. Again, I can't say it enough. Their smiles, their positive attitudes, their lust for life, to quote the great Biggie Pop. It's fantastic. So, from me, thank you to everyone over there. And you've been way more of making this a good experience than I have.
Okay, well, I know you don't want to say thank you, but thank you. appreciate your time tonight as well, obviously, doing this over the, and we'll put it up as a podcast so people can have a listen, and obviously we can share it on our social media. So appreciate your time tonight, appreciate your work over the week, and who knows when our paths will cross again. Chris Abbott, appreciate what you've done. Thank you very much.
And Craig, I hope it's sooner than later that I cross paths with all you guys. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I hope everyone stays in touch. If there's anything I can do for anyone who's ever over this way, or if there's anything I can ever do to help out with ball hockey in the UK, I'll do whatever I can.
That's brilliant, Chris. Thank you very much.
Cheers, my friend. Thank you.